We're turning tonight to the Acts of the Apostles, and we're just going to read a few verses together of the chapter 1. Acts chapter 1 and the verse 9. And when he had spoken these things, while they beheld, he was taken up, and a cloud received him out of their sight. And while they looked steadfastly towards heaven as he went up, behold, two men stood by them in white apparel, which also said, Ye men of Galilee, why stand ye gazing up into heaven? This same Jesus, which is taken up from you into heaven, shall so come in like manner as ye have seen him go into heaven. We know that God will bless the reading of these verses to our hearts this evening. Let's bow in prayer, please. Heavenly Father, we thank thee for thy presence with us already and the hymns we've been singing, the messages and song to our heart, and the scripture that has been read. And Heavenly Father, as we turn now to thy precious word, we ask thee that thou wouldest write it upon each one of our hearts. Cleanse my heart afresh of the precious blood. Fill me afresh, O God, with thy Holy Spirit, and enable me to preach thy word. For we ask it in Jesus' precious and lovely name. Amen. I want us tonight to look for a short time at the return of the Lord Jesus. And when he had spoken these things, while they beheld him, he was taken up, and a cloud received him out of their sight. And while they looked steadfastly towards heaven as he went up, behold, two men stood by them in white apparel, which also said, Ye men of Galilee, why stand ye gazing up into heaven? This same Jesus, which is taken up from you into heaven, shall so come in like manner as you have seen him go into heaven. What interest there is in the second coming of the Lord Jesus. The last few years, the world in which you and I live seems to be drifting out of control, heading for a great disaster. Nothing remains the same for very long. It used to be that nothing changed for years, and it continued as normal. And then everything seemed to speed up, and every year brought tremendous change. But now in recent times, every week brings some tremendous change to the world in which you and I live. Family life has broken down. The rise of the sodomites worldwide. Adultery has become an everyday sin. Immorality is out of control. Governments have done away with the laws that are in line with the Bible, God's word. Evil is being classed as good and good as evil. One world government is sought today. A global economy, they tell you, is what the world needs. One world church is the cry of religious leaders of today. Scientists will tell us that the resources of the world will soon run out. And if you have a petrol car and a diesel car, you'd need to get rid of it now, because it was in the paper the other day, some tomfool said that there wouldn't be a diesel car or a petrol car in the world by 2020, but certainly not any later than 2025. It would be all electric. And where he got paid to come out with that, I don't know. Now, I'm not saying it will not come further down the line. But, you know, we have tremendous changes. In the year 2007, the financial markets collapsed. But for the government intervention, we faced a collapse of the world economy. Now, the ordinary taxpayer has to foot the bill, and had to foot the bill right down to this day. And I believe the devil and his agents are in the process of setting the scene for the return of the Lord Jesus. The money magnates, the top of the Masons, in America and Europe, the Illuminati, all seeking power in this world of ours. We as God's children should not despair, because his plan must be fulfilled. God is still in control, and though the devil and his agents are setting the scene for the last great battle when Jesus will return to destroy those opposed to God and the devil, cast into the bottomless pit for 1,000 years, these things must come to pass. In 2 Thessalonians 2, "Now we beseech you, brethren, by the coming of our Lord Jesus Christ, that by our gathering together unto him, that ye be not soon shaken in mind or be troubled, neither by spirit, nor by word, nor by letter, as from us, as that the day of Christ is at hand. Let no man deceive you by any means, for that day shall not come except there come a falling away first, and that man of sin be revealed, the son of perdition, who opposes and exalts himself, so that he as God sitteth in the temple of God, showing himself that he is God. These things must come to pass before the Lord returns." And in 2 Thessalonians 2 in the verse 8, "And then shall that wicked be revealed, whom the Lord shall consume with the spirit of his mouth, and shall destroy with the brightness of his coming." Jesus is coming. These things are happening all around us. We have to see them being fulfilled, the signs that are given to us right throughout the scripture. Now, we're not going down that way tonight, and I'm not going to get involved, in case there's people here don't have the same a view of the end time scene as what I have, and so we'll not go to fall out over it. But there is one thing certain: the Lord Jesus Christ is coming again. And a lot of people and ministers and preachers avoid the subject because they're scared of tramping on somebody's corns. Well, it's down through the years, people have tramped my corns and they've never done me a bit harm. And if I tramp on your corns tonight, well, you'll have to give me a wee bit of grace in it. But we have this great day coming. In Matthew 24, 29 to 31, "Immediately after the tribulation of those days shall the sun be darkened, and the moon shall not give her light, and the stars shall fall from heaven, and the powers of the heavens shall be shaken. And then shall appear the sign of the Son of Man in heaven, and then shall all the tribes of the earth mourn, and they shall see the Son of Man coming in the clouds of heaven with power and great glory. And he shall send his angels with a great sound of a trumpet, and they shall gather together his elect from the four winds, from one end of heaven to the other." That Jesus is coming again, there is no doubt. And the Bible makes it very, very clear. And the two signs in the scriptures, and I'm going to read them to you tonight, because it is so important. In Luke 17 in the verse 26, "And as it was in the days of Noah, so shall it be also in the days of the coming of the Son of Man." And you know, what was it, as we have said in nights that are past, what was the sin of Noah's day? Everybody did that which was right in their own eyes. What's happening in the world that you and I live in today? Everybody is doing what is right in their own eyes. From the child, as he grows up, is allowed to do whatever he wants and goes out into this big world. And the other one is the verse 28 of Luke 17. "Likewise also, as it was in the days of Lot, they did eat, they drank, they bought, they sold, they planted, they builded. But the same day that Lot went out of Sodom, it rained fire and brimstone from heaven and destroyed them all." What was the sin of Lot's day but homosexuality? and the city was full of it. But God came and judged it. And those are the two signs, or two of the signs, of the Lord's coming that will take place before he comes. The question is tonight, what is going to happen on that day of days? And that's what we want to look at for a short time tonight. And first of all, we want to look at it because it's going to be a day of sensation, a day unparalleled in history. Nothing has happened in the past or ever will happen to compare with this day of the Lord. The dropping of the atomic bomb was a terrible tragedy. The harrowing scenes of earthquakes and floods and millions starving to death from drought. The millions who lost their lives during the Great War will pale into insignificance on that day. Hitler's gas chambers, that is such a tragic happening in the past, will all fade into insignificance on that day. It's going to be a day of tremendous noise. In 1 Thessalonians 4:16, for the Lord himself shall descend from heaven with a shout, with the voice of the archangel and the trump of God, and the dead in Christ shall rise first. There's no silent rapture there. And now some people know what I mean by that. But there we have the voice of the archangel, the trump of God, and the dead in Christ shall rise first. And Revelation 6, and the stars of heaven fell upon the earth, even as a fig tree casteth her untimely figs when she is shaken of a mighty wind. And the heaven departed as a scroll when it rolled together, and every mountain and island were moved out of their place. What will it be like on that day when the stars fall upon the earth? The news media, you know, is always looking for sensational stories to sell their newspapers. Here will be the most sensational story of all time. And it'll be seen by all people all over the world at the same time. It'll be a day of tremendous fear. Gone will be the strong and mighty men that has persecuted people over the years. They will be paralyzed. In Revelation 6:16, and the kings of the earth, the great men, the rich men, the chief captains and the mighty men, and every bondman and every free man hid themselves in the dens and in the rocks of the mountains, and said to the mountains and the rocks, fall on us and hide us from the face of him that sitteth upon the throne and from the wrath of the Lamb. Fear will grip the heart of everyone as people everywhere wake up to the truth of this book, the Bible. Too late. The fear of the wrath of God will make them cry out in vain for hope when no hope is gone. What a tragedy. In Luke 21, we read men's heart failing them for fear and for looking after those things which are coming on the earth. For the powers of heaven shall be shaken, and they shall see the Son of Man coming in a cloud with power and great glory. You know, we really can't imagine the noise and the fear that that day will bring. What a day of sensation. Men and women today who laugh and they mock when they are warned of the wrath of God to come suddenly realize all of was a deception of the old devil. My dear unsaved friend in the meeting this evening, please believe God's precious word before it is ever too late. The hymn writer, when he wrote, be in time, while the voice of Jesus calls you, be in time. And if you're in the service tonight and you're not saved, then you need to realize that there is a day coming when the Lord Jesus Christ will come, the trumpet will sound, And your opportunity to get saved will be over. And it will be over forever. What a day of sensation. Oh, I ask you to flee from the wrath to come to the arms of a loving Savior who died for sinners upon the cross of Calvary. You know not the day of the Lord's return, except you're an American evangelist or two over there, and they have already set the dates, and the dates have passed, and people who turn round and tell you the Lord's coming in a week's time or in a year's time or so on and so forth. What does the Bible say? Matthew 24:36, but of that day and hour knoweth no man. No, not the angels of heaven, but my Father only. Yes, we observe the signs, but we know not the day nor the hour of his coming. I urge you, if you're not saved, to be prepared. Because on that day, there will be a tremendous change as you realize that the Lord Jesus Christ has come and your day of opportunity is over. It's a day of sensation, but it's going to be a day of separation. You see, the day of the return of the King of Kings and Lord of Lords will be a terrible day of sorrow. The separation will be worldwide. Separation of friends. Matthew 24 and the verse 40, there shall two be in the field, the one shall be taken and the other left. Two women shall be grinding at the mill, the one shall be taken and the other left. Luke 17:34, I tell you, in that night there shall be two men in one bed, the one shall be taken and the other shall be left. Day or night, whichever part of the world we live, the call will come at the same time. And those that are saved will go to meet Christ in the air, and the rest will be left behind. And what sorrow this will bring. In Matthew 25, we have the parable of the 10 virgins. 5 were taken, and 5 were left out. And there'll be mothers taken and fathers left. There'll be fathers taken and mothers left. There'll be children taken and parents left. Parents taken, children left. Oh, what a scene of sadness and sorrow that will be. The Oma bomb left the whole community in an unreal world as the names of the victims filtered through. And I will never forget that day. Samantha McFarland lived in a house just across the main road from our house. And her name filtered through. Lorraine Wilson, just in the park over behind that, where she lived. Mr. White, Fred White and his son, 500 yards up the road. And you know, as those names of people that I knew personally, Roman Catholic people and Protestant people, what sorrow was over the next few days. But you multiply that by millions all over the world, and we cannot comprehend the separation that is going to be when the Lord Jesus Christ comes again. Whenever the trumpet sounds, the dead in Christ rise first. And those that are saved will be caught up to be with them, to meet the Lord in the air. But the separation, yes, will be separation from the love of God forever. You see, the separation from family will be terrible. But the realization that all hope of salvation is gone forever, all hope of forgiveness gone, all cries of repentance in vain. The one who now can be your loving Savior, that can pardon and forgive you freely, has become the judge of all the earth. The realization of an eternity in the lake of fire and hell. Jude 13, raging waves of the sea, foaming out their shame, wandering stars to whom is reserved the blackness of darkness forever. You see, hell is no laughing matter, as we said last night. Oh, what a terrible place hell is. It's no place other than a place of blackness and darkness for all eternity. In Revelation 20 and 12, "And I saw the dead, small and great, stand before God, and the books were opened, and another book was opened, which is the book of life, and the dead was judged out of those things which were written in the books, according to their works. And the sea gave up the dead which were in it, and death and hell delivered up the dead which were in them, and they were judged, every man according to their works. And death and hell were cast into the lake of fire. This is the second death. And whosoever was not found written in the book of life was cast into the lake of fire." And you know, that is a tragedy, that there are so many people that we know, friends of ours, relations of ours, workmates of ours, people who live in the community around us, and there is a day coming, if they do not repent of their sins and be born again into God's family, they're going to end up in the lake of fire. What a tragedy that's going to be. I ask you tonight, if you're not saved, to flee now to the God of love before it is too late. You see, there is only one door into heaven, as we have said in nights that are past, and that is the Lord Jesus Christ, God's Son. And unless you come through that door, you will never, ever be in God's heaven. And you know, this land of ours has been so privileged with the gospel being preached all over the years. Tracts put through the doors. Texts up on trees and on hoardings and everything else. And yet men and women have turned their back upon the eternal Son of God. And they have said, "I am going to get to heaven my way, because I'm a good person, and I live a good life, and I do the best I can." But let me tell you this, in God's sight, no matter what you do, is never going to get you a step nearer heaven. Because all that is necessary for you and I to get to heaven has been accomplished upon the cross of Calvary. The Lord Jesus Christ came, and as our brother was singing tonight, he went to the cross of Calvary. They suffered alone there. And he bore the punishment that we deserve for our sins upon the middle tree. And do you think for one minute that God would have sent his dear Son into this sin-cursed world if you or I or anybody else could get to heaven by our own good works? If you do, it's total nonsense. The eternal God of heaven saw that there was no other way that anyone would ever get into his heaven unless the price for our sin was paid. And thank God, he loved us so much, he sent his only begotten Son into this sin-cursed world to become sin for us upon the cross of Calvary. And my dear friend, tonight I ask you, if you're not saved, will you not come to the Lord Jesus Christ, God's Son? Repent of your sin, be washed in the blood of the Lamb. But then finally, it's not only a day of sensation and a day of separation, but it's going to be a day of supreme joy. You say, how can this be after all that you've said? Well, in 1 Thessalonians 4:16, for the Lord himself shall descend from heaven with a shout, with the voice of the archangel, with the trump of God, and the dead in Christ shall rise first. Then we which are alive and remain shall be caught up together with them in the clouds to meet the Lord in the air, and so shall we ever be with the Lord. Wherefore, comfort one another with these words. My dear friend, every person that was saved by God's grace and is now in the grave, at the coming of the Lord Jesus Christ, they're going to be resurrected. Every child of God that is saved by God's grace, that is alive, is going to be caught up with them to meet the Lord in the air. A day of joy for those who are in Christ. Only those who are saved and born again will have this joy. Are you in Christ? Are you washed in the blood? Have you the new birth experience, the assurance of salvation? Because you can have the assurance of salvation. And 1 John 5:13, these things have I written unto you that believe on the name of the Son of God, that ye may know that ye have eternal life. Not hoping to have eternal life, but that you may know that you have eternal life, and that ye may believe on the name of the Son of God. In John 10:28, and I give unto them eternal life, and they shall never perish, neither shall any man pluck them out of my hand. It's going to be a day of joyful reunion with those who have gone before. For the Lord himself shall descend from heaven with a shout, with the voice of the archangel. The dead in Christ shall rise first. What a day of joyful reunion. Loved ones all together. Again, fathers, mothers, sons, daughters, all reunited forever, never to be parted. Job says, and though after my skin worms destroy this body, yet in my flesh shall I see God. And we certainly will know each other in heaven. And you know, that is going to be tremendous. When we meet the saints who have gone before. You know, we have often heard of Moses and Elijah and David. And we have heard of all the preachers of the past. Martin Luther, this year we're talking about Martin Luther. We have never met him, but one day we will meet him, because he's in heaven. Spurgeon, the great preacher. Martin Lloyd-Jones. All these men that we have read books of and heard even sometimes. I heard Nicholson, actually. But I was only a young boy, and he was in Killodee's camp meeting. And I can still visualize him on the pulpit. Now, I can't remember a thing he said. But he was on there in Killodee's camp meetings one time when I was there before he passed away. But we're going to meet all these men that have gone before, that we have only read about in the Bible or read about in history. But best of all, we're going to meet the Lord Jesus Christ. What a day that's going to be. Christian, are you looking forward to this day when we shall see Jesus face to face and thank him personally for all he has done to save us forever and eternal bliss? Face to face with Christ my Savior. Face to face, what will it be when with rapture I behold him, Jesus Christ who died for me? What a day that's going to be if you're the saved of the Lord. Don't be depressed. Look up. Don't be looking in. You see, when you look into yourself, you see everything that's wrong. But look up and see Christ, because he is upon the throne in the heavenlies. But one day he's coming again, and we will meet him face to face. And what a day that will be. let us as God's children tonight rejoice. And when we see all these things happening around us and all the depression and everything about, let's look up, for our redemption draweth nigh. That day is coming when Jesus is coming to take us home. But my dear friend, tonight, if you're in the meeting and you're not saved, then that day is going to be a terrible day of separation for you. Because you're going to be taken and cast into the lake of fire. And that does not bear thinking about. When tonight you're sitting in this gospel meeting and there's a loving Savior here and He's willing to forgive your sins, He's willing to pardon you, He's willing to take and make you a child of His, He's willing to give you eternal life. And He says to you tonight, come unto me, all ye that labor and are heavy laden, and I will give you rest. Will you not come tonight? I urge you, don't go away from this service this evening. Speak to Mr. McCammon or myself at the door. We would love to speak with you privately, take God's word and show you how that you can be saved. But you know, you don't need anybody. All you need to do is ask the Lord to save you and to come into your heart and cleanse you in His precious blood. And what happens? He does it immediately. But you should always witness and tell someone that can pray for you and help you and encourage you along life's journey. We have the little booklet, A New Beginning, that we have each night. And if God has spoken to you and you'd like a copy, ask us for one as you leave. And we trust tonight, if you're not saved, that tonight you will prepare. And then you can look forward to that day when the Lord Jesus Christ returns. And if you're backslidden tonight, then you need to get right with the Lord. Because you can't be lost, but you lose fellowship with the Lord. And you need the blessing of God. And you say, how do I get back? You repent of your sin. And He will forgive you.